Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Sure, why not?
It's about social engagement.
All right. Let's get this party started.
Yes. Let's put some whipped cream on this thing.
Oh, mind soap again.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your mind wiper, Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
Yes. And this week, Pete is off again. We don't know where he is.
Well, we know he's often off.
We hope you're well, Pete. We miss you. So, yes, it's the 99th episode, guys.
Woohoo! We're
one away from 100.
And then we retire, right?
Yeah. Well, no, then we go into syndication.
Awesome. You know,
and we just collect residuals.
Ooh.
I like it.
I could use an extra buck a week.
A buck? Wait.
That's some hefty residuals.
Yeah. Going a little high on the horse there, buddy. So, Geek of the Week.
We had a challenging one this week.
Yes, we did. Offered by the great Ben Fiore.
Would you like me to repeat the question, Dave?
Yes. For our listeners? Why don't you repeat the question?
Okay, so as a reminder, last week's question was, with the upcoming Secret Wars crossover events coming up in Marvel Universe, we asked what previous crossovers were there between the standard 616 universe and the Ultimate Universe, and if you could name at least three characters that have crossed over betwixt those universes. There were actually five of note. But Dave, we did have a winner, correct?
Yes, we did. Betwixt, by the way.
That's a word.
Betwixt.
It's a little highfalutin for this crap.
I'm elevating the game here, Dave.
All right.
Someone's been reading Hamlet.
Yes.
Or Macbeth, actually, but
And that gentleman answered on Facebook, and his Facebook name is Stevo Marvel Smart. So
he sounds smart.
He's smart about Marvel. And, of course, the first crossover was in the Fort miniseries, Spider-Men, that involved both Miles Morales and Peter Parker. And the third character that he named was Mysterio. So.
Yes, and that is correct. Those are the three characters. So in the Spider-Man event, it became revealed that Mysterio from the 616 universe had found a way to, through someone else's technology, bridge this gap and sent an avatar into the Ultimate Universe and was messing with the Spider-Man in this universe. But in, Peter Parker from 616 found it and crossed over and met Miles and found out about the death of Peter Parker in that universe. The end of which resulted in Mysterio being imprisoned in the Ultimate Universe so that he couldn't reveal secret identities to anyone in that universe.
That's interesting. I actually did not read Spider-Man, which has me wondering, was he still imprisoned in the Ultimate Universe?
He still is, last I had heard, because the other event where there was a crossover was in Cataclysm. Which was an Ultimate event where they had to contend with Galactus. And it was not just the Galactus swarm that they had previously dealt with, but rather a near-death Galactus from the 616 universe had managed to fall through a rift into the Ultimate Universe and was found by the swarm, and they merged together to form a more powerful being and then came to Earth to consume it. So in that event, they actually went to Mysterio in his shield prison to find out if Galactus had ever been dealt with before, and if so, how. And they suggested Reed Richards, in which case they all got upset because they thought maybe Reed Richards had sent him there, because their version of Reed Richards is kind of a dick.
Kind of, yeah.
But it ended up resulting in Reed and Miles getting sent the other way through that what do you call it portal to the 616 universe to gather intelligence. It ended up going to the Baxter Building and downloading files about Galactus and bringing them back so they could defeat him.
Ah, so maybe he'll be freed with the crossover. It's funny, in the conversation that ensued in the comment threads on Facebook, it was pointed out that Joe Quesada had pointed out a while ago, if we ever cross over the 616 and Ultimate Universes, or if we merge them, then we've officially run out of ideas. So...
Well, so we know that day is coming.
So, yes, Marvel has officially run out of ideas, people. All right, so congratulations, Steve-O. You are the...
But they're the House of Ideas, Dave.
You're the honorary Beard of Knowledge for the week.
They're completely out of ideas, and yet they are still kicking DC's ass. I am so sad.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not completely, just where it counts.
In certain media.
Well, it's hard to fight DC when you're surrounded by piles of money, I understand.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, they have a money fort protecting them from any usurpers.
So,
but we did offer another challenge last week, right, Dave?
Yes, well, should we ask this week's question before we talk about the other thing?
Poppycock. Oh, go ahead.
All right, so this one is related to this week's theme, to this week's episode, because we haven't told what we're talking about yet, but here's a hint. And if you've read the title of the episode, you already know. But
shh, spoilers.
Where and when was the first official comic book convention held? That's the question of the week. So if you think you know the answer, again, tweet it to us, hashtag StumpTheGeekSpeak, or put it on our Facebook wall, or you can email it to any of us, and we will pick a winner.
Well, I already know the answer, Dave. It was in Lascaux, France, because that's what the paintings are. Those are the remnants of the reveals of animal hunting to come.
So that's what they were doing in the caves back then. Is they were they were actually comic books that they were drawing, and
exactly
they were all meeting and getting
this
autographs.
This is the storyboard of our next run of Deer Hunters. The best-selling comic of the time.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, they all told the same story over and over again, though.
Yes. A little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Kind of like all the multiple DC reboots, but...
I was going to say, it was a precursor.
But, yes, as Ben alluded to, we had a challenge that we gave out to our fans, thanks to Pete last week, and it was... Basically, they're doing an evil robot building montage in the new Age of Ultron movie.
Or so we speculate.
What would be the perfect background music for that? And we had a couple people give us answers. On Twitter, Bubba Wheat had suggested the obvious, It's Raining Men.
Raining Men, hallelujah, it's Raining Men. Oh, that hurts.
Does it hurt a little bit inside?
You just have to keep mind soap like on hand at all times, John.
Exactly.
When you're on this podcast.
Well, you know, I do buy at Costco.
and then one of the other suggestions that we liked came in from Dan Sheen on our Facebook page, and his was, you know, Jefferson Starships, we built this city. No, that's the final countdown.
It's not
that's
it.
Final countdown.
Oh my
we
gosh.
We built this city.
Yeah.
We built this city on
rock and roll.
And ladies and gentlemen, now you know why we podcast rather than sing.
So, Marvel, you have time to throw together a evil robot building montage to stick in the middle of the movie, and we suggest using one of those songs. Yes. So, anyway. Now on a more serious business, people.
So, I have a story to tell, Dave.
Okay.
This weekend, a funny thing happened. Some guy dragged me to this brand new comic convention out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah?
Maybe you've heard of it. I think it's called Great Philadelphia Comic Con.
Oh, yeah. That was me.
Oh, right. That was you.
I know you're trying to block the traumatic experience, but of me, coercing you into going.
Those press passes are expensive. Just saying.
No. Yes. So
I'm actually sad I did not go.
no, it was actually a fun day, John. We had a good time.
Yes.
Now I'm really sad I didn't go.
Now, yes. For those who are unaware, the first Great Philadelphia Comic Con was held this weekend, and we got invited to come as press and cover the event. The entire team was invited, but sadly, the entire team didn't go. It was Easter weekend. We understand it's tough for people.
Yes.
So yes.
But it was okay because Dave and I had a very Thelma and Louise experience, complete with
And
driving our car off of a cliff into a quarry.
yes.
Unfortunately, airbags saved both of us, and we're still here to talk about it.
Well, it was also a sponge quarry, so not much.
Sponge.
Yes. The sponge quarry.
Is that how
They're
they get
rare.
sponges? I thought, they got them from the ocean.
Well, the ones we use for dishwashing are from the ocean. Today's sponge come from quarries. And that's why they discontinued them, because they ran out of materials.
So John, we're gonna tell you all about the great experience we had without you. I mean,
Oh, just get to the cosplayers.
So imagine a great Philadelphia comic convention, but instead, it's not in Philadelphia.
Yes,
But
so
in Oaks.
I will say that that's the first, and one of the few critiques I would have about it. Unfortunately, people tend to just name the convention to the nearest city, big city, and
To be fair, it's also the name of the convention center they were at. It's called the
yeah,
Philadelphia Expo Center.
right.
So,
But it's in Oaks, and it's not, for the people who aren't from this area, it's nowhere really near the city.
well, urban sprawl is a problem in this side of Pennsylvania, so.
It very much is. I mean, it's sad to say that as far as Philadelphia is concerned, it's considered outskirts of Philadelphia, but it's a good 45 minutes out driving from actual downtown
Right,
Philadelphia.
right. And and I don't know. I mean, I don't really know what things are like on the West Coast, because I know cities are more sprawled out as you further you travel west. But around here, if you can't quickly get on a bus or even just drive there in 10 minutes, it's not in the city.
Yeah.
So yeah. But in fact, actually, one person did that we talked to did bring that up. That they were kind of afraid they're not gonna, they weren't gonna have a good crowd because they're not gonna get any foot traffic out there where they were in Oaks, and there's no easy way to get there by public transportation. So,
True.
there was a fear of light crowds.
Right. That said, though, they did actually have a pretty decent crowd. I was impressed.
Yes. Especially for a first time convention.
And on a holiday weekend.
Yes. To give everyone a comparison, 2 years ago, it was actually 2 years ago this weekend as well, which is funny because I got one of those reminder things on Facebook, like, oh, 2 years ago today, and a picture popped up from this convention that was the first of its one held near the airport in Philadelphia. So it was actually closer to the city than this place was, and I won't say the name of the convention to save it any embarrassment, but I was there working for a friend of mine who has a special effects company. He just needed someone at the table to help him out, and there was maybe on Saturday, which was the busiest day, 25 paying people coming into the show.
Ugh.
So I mean, and they went on to have a second show last year. I don't know if they're doing it again this year, but
Yeah.
they tried. So it just goes to show you that, you can easily fail the first time you do
Yeah.
this. But no, they had a decent crowd. And I
Yeah,
think,
there was a long line coming out the door when we got there,
right.
first thing. It wasn't, Wizard World levels, but it was definitely respectable.
Right. And I think in that in part had to do with the crowd, not the crowds, the some of the celebrities that they had there.
Yeah.
For instance, they had a lot of Star Trek personalities there.
They had several alumni from the original Star Trek series. Yep.
Nichelle Nichols, of course, Lieutenant
Walter
Picard.
Koenig.
You're right. Chekhov.
Jonathan Frakes was there too,
yes.
Wasn't he?
He was, yes.
And of course, George Takei, who, speaking as somebody who does a lot of conventions in Philly and New York, he doesn't come to the East Coast that often anymore.
Yeah.
So,
but he's
he has
awesome.
A huge social presence, and he definitely had a draw at this convention. There was constantly a line at his booth.
Right. So we didn't get to talk to him, which was a shame.
Only for our own laziness.
Well, that's true too. They also had a lot of the original Power Rangers there, which
yes, that's a surprising number of original Power Rangers, I would say.
I think they
including.
Had...
They had the Lena, I forget what her name is, the evil witch woman, and Zordon.
Zordon, the original Red Ranger, the original Blue Ranger, and the original, no, not the original Yellow Ranger, one of the earlier Yellow Rangers.
Yeah, the original Yellow Ranger died in a car accident, actually.
Oh, thanks for...
What's her name, Tran? Yeah.
Thanks for bringing it the house down.
Yes, yes. Yeah, of course. The only trivia
just,
I know
just
is
making
that
excuses for why she wasn't there, John.
Exactly. They could have, you know. Oh, and Walter E. Jones, the original Black Ranger. So, there was definitely a draw there for people who are fans of the Power Rangers and Star Trek. Let's see. Oh, and
they had J. August Richards.
I was going to say, and. A bigger name that surprised me was J. August Richards. For those who don't know, he was Deathlok on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We got in line to talk to him, and his publicist was there and was like, no.
Yes, she clearly didn't want to get killed by Marvel lawyers, which is very respectable.
Right.
So she said, nope, no press, but you can feel free to talk to him, which we did. So we have no recording for you from him, but it was definitely great to meet him and talk to him about Deathlok and about his previous role as Gunn.
Yes,
on,
an angel.
Angel.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, very nice guy.
So what I'm going to say to our listeners, the thing that really impressed me about him is I mentioned Rich Buckler to him, who I've known for a few years now from doing conventions around here. And for those who don't know, and you should, Rich Buckler created the character Deathlok. And he, you know, the look on his face was, oh yeah, like he knew who he was. And I told him, I talked to him, last year actually about, Deathlok being on the show. And he said, he was real happy with the representation that, Deathlok got. I did ask him if they had asked if he had any input to the character, and Rich was like, no, but you know, I'm just happy to see him being used. And that made J. August Richards happy, which
oh yeah, he was very he lit up when he
right.
had that note of approval.
So that's like, you know, I thought that was a great thing about his character in and I mean character as in his personality, not the
yes.
character he played. That yes, okay, he knows the guy who created the character he played, and he was happy that he approved of his performance. So yeah, you know, it wasn't like, oh well, who was that guy? I don't really care what he says. So, and he seemed sincere. I'm not saying, you know, because someone might turn around and go, oh, he's just being nice to you. No, he seemed really sincere about it. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. Who else was there? Christy Carlson
Romano,
who was the voice of Kim Possible.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprising pull. I can't not picture her as one of the siblings in the old Disney show, Even Stevens. But,
yeah, I don't get that, but
it wasn't a hugely popular show, so I'm not surprised.
Yes.
But it was the start of Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, she did have a fairly, you know, decent line, so, you know, enough people knew who she was at least. You know, you know, before we get to the interviews, you know, we tried people really hard to get some of the celebrities. Well, we tried to get a couple of the celebrities.
We tried a couple. To be honest, we felt while we could go after these bigger names, and we tried for the couple, obviously there were some press limitations. but we have typically been spotlighting writers and artists on the show, so it felt appropriate to go after those interviews at the show as well.
Yes, and again, we decided to only go there one day, being we have day jobs on Friday and
families on a holiday.
And since Sunday was Easter, we didn't want to do that. We were invited for the entire weekend, and if we just spent a day talking to the artists and the writers that we could, because, you know, another thing is the celebrities have a line, and even if they are willing to talk to us, we can't sit there and hold up a line when there's 20 people behind us all waiting to meet the guy.
Right. It's not fair to the people that have been waiting in line for the
purpose
of meeting one of their idols.
You know, as somebody who has done many conventions, I got to say, you know, that's probably the better way to go. So if you have a podcast and you want to interview celebrities, it's not always a good idea to get in the line of people buying autographs and try to ask them. You know, just a little word of warning for you.
But Dave, and you know this because you've seen the other side of things.
Right. Yes. Oh yeah.
You gotta explain that.
Right. Yeah. No.
He's been on both sides of the aisle.
I've been on both sides of the aisle. Yes. And, so there you go. let's see, what else can we talk about?
Oh, did you want to tell the Jim
Steranko story?
Yes. Story?
So we went up to his table, and he had a crowd around. So I actually did buy a print from him and got his autograph from a Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. cover that he had done. And, you know, we asked politely if he would give us 5 minutes, but he had a crowd. And, you know, he's like, maybe later. And we weren't planning to stay late, so we're like, okay. But he did tell us a story that was a lot of fun, and I'm going to share it with the audience. And, you know, he told me the story, so I'm using it.
There you go.
So you'll enjoy
it. It's also a story that shows his age, because it's
– Well, that's true, too.
It's from another era.
Yes. Yeah, I think John will really appreciate the story, too.
Thank you so much. I knew that was coming.
I didn't mean it that way.
No. Not at all.
So in the 60s, of course, he worked at Marvel Comics, and everyone knows they're headquartered in New York. And he told us that a lot of people that worked at Marvel would go down to the Playboy Club for dinner. And, of course, that automatically puts pictures in your head. But one of the things that he said that he would do is he would be there, let's say, with Jack Kirby, and he would make a bet with them. He said, he would be like, I bet you I can guess the name of that bunny over there. And they'd be like, ah, no, you can't do that. And he's like, okay. If I can guess the name, then you pay for dinner. If I can't guess the name, then I'll buy dinner. But what he didn't tell them is he had a twist to it. Is that there are different levels of names. And as long as he was within the right level, he won. So, like, a Mary and a Jane are on the same level. But a Samantha, that's a higher level. That's a different level. Yes. So, if he said Mary and it was Samantha, well, then he lost. But if it's Mary and her name was Maria, that's close enough.
It's close enough.
He wins. So, he said that he barely paid for a dinner over at the club. So, yes, he's definitely a class act. I gotta say that. He reminds you of, you know, an old Italian grandfather telling his stories from the 60s. And, you know, I'm sure that's what he is today. So, you know, and I know you remember that time back in the 60s, Sean.
Yeah, like it was yesterday.
All that time you spent at the Playboy Club.
Yes.
Yes, sure. You know, back when showing ankle was like really cheap.
So. Oh, yes. Yes, it was.
You never seem impressed when I show my ankles, John.
Moving on. Where's my mind so bad? He's over here somewhere.
But he's always excited when I show my ankles, Ben. I don't know what's going on.
I see how it is. Well, anyway, let's let the listeners get what they came here for and hear some clips from some people that we met this week.
Oh, no. Come on. That's too much fun. Oh, wait. Okay. So this first clip actually is J.M. Clark. Now, this was fun because there were other podcasters there, at least this one other podcaster there. And
right, and he was actually, he had a staff badge, so he was walking around the place on official business, so to speak.
Well, I believe he was, I saw him talking to some of the people who coordinate the con, yeah. So he knew them, and that's probably how he ended up, why he ended up there. But he does a podcast called An Elegant Weapon, and he's from Canada, so...
We'll forgive him for that.
Huh? We'll forgive him for that?
Yes.
So he traveled all the way to the United States just to meet us. And
you keep telling yourself that.
Now, it's funny, we were talking to some other people when we came in, and he walked over and said, "Oh, you're a podcaster?" and started talking to us, and then a little while later, he just walked up behind us with his recorder on and started, you know, recording.
He's like, "Let's do some cross-pod magic
right,
here."
So he said cross-pod. I pulled out our recorder, and I recorded it, and it was a fun little conversation, and so listen to this, and when you're done, go check them out at anelegantweapon.ca. The link will be obviously in the description, and
And you won't get charged extra for going to that link.
And yes.
Kids, are you recording?
I am recording as well.
I am recording as well. This is an Elegant Weapon recording. Who are you guys recording?
We are Superhero Speak.
Good times. And you guys are out of the area.
Yes,
yes,
we're local.
Yeah, we're from Philly.
Good times. How long have you guys been podcasting?
2 years.
2 years now.
Nice, 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 nice. Tell us about your show. Who are you guys? What do you do?
So we occasionally interview people, but mostly we argue with each other about TV shows and comic books and movies.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we actually used to work together at a technology company, and... Ben was already working there when I started, and he had a Spider-Man painting hanging over his desk. I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to be friends with that guy.
Right on.
And we became friends, and we would have those conversations at work all the time about the movies, the comic books, whatever. And we're like, let's record this, you know, and put it out there for people to listen to.
So you guys were fans beforehand, obviously.
Oh yeah, big time.
What did you guys get into when you got into podcasting? Who are you listening to?
Not a lot of things. I listen to the Nerdist. I'm trying to get, listen to some more smaller stuff and consume, more in the trenches of things. But
I
listen to a lot more than I do.
Pretty much, if Kevin Smith is on it, I've been listening to it. Edumacation, I think, is my favorite one
right
now.
Great show.
And Hollywood Babylon.
Hollywood Babylon. Last week, I'm from Toronto.
Nice.
And yes, I was there for Hollywood Babylon 200 episode.
Awesome.
I have not laughed that hard in years. I couldn't breathe. It's my favorite podcast by far. It's my most entertaining moment of the week.
Yeah.
I look, if it's not there Monday morning, I am severely sad. Ruins my whole week. I just think it's brilliant entertainment.
Yes.
But seeing it live added this certain energy
visceral,
to it that was, it just made it so much more visceral, as you say. It was a hell of an experience.
Okay, so now I need to ask you.
Yeah.
I have actually, no offense,
yeah,
at times I've grown bored with Smodcast because all they do is talk about Canada. Is that something that appeals to you as a Canadian when you listen to it?
It does, but part of it is it's a Canadian. Like, Mosier's a Canadian,
right? Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's going to naturally... Yes, they do talk about it a lot because they're both kind of... And with Smith being like a Canada-file and everything.
Right, right.
There are times where I'm even like, yes, we've heard the same joke that you make that how much you love Canada a million times.
Yes.
And, it's give and take. But
sure.
We're proud of it. We love that he loves us. And, it's a strong bond. He's been coming for years, doing Q&As in Toronto for years. So there has been a certain thing built. I personally don't listen to Smodcast too often.
Okay.
Once in a while. My main ones are Hollywood Babylon, and then there's Nerdist and Joe Rogan, but I only listen to those selectively as guests.
Yeah.
Right,
depending
right,
who they
right.
got on. Because, I mean, Rogan's got 3-hour podcasts.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of content.
How do you catch up on that?
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, like, Ben enjoys the hostfuls on Nerdist.
Right.
But sometimes they're just talking about absolutely nothing.
I don't like the hostfuls. Yeah. I don't listen
to
the hostfuls.
They're not talking about projects they're working on or anything like that. They're just three guys in a room talking. It's like, well, there's no topic here that interests me right now.
Yeah.
I can't relate to that.
What I like to do is, I like to try a lot of new podcasts. You know, I've met a lot of good friends. Obviously, the community's tight. I'm sure you guys have met some amazing people. Sorry, where was I going that? I'm halfway through my first King Can of the day, so I'm having a little trouble focusing. But what was I saying? Where was I going? This is an elegant moment that these people will understand on this side, but through that one, your people are probably like, who the fuck? This guy can't even talk. Yeah, I don't remember where I was going with
that. It's a tight community. You like meeting other podcasters.
Oh, yeah, this is what I do. Nice. Excellent pullback, fellas. Yes. You know what you're doing. what I'll do is I'll find a new podcast or meet them on Twitter. Obviously, Twitter's the main hub.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where all congregate. Yep. And I will find a new podcast. I will download their first and latest episodes. And that's kind of good at what I go with. Because when you listen to a first episode, which we all know is shit.
It's going
to
be rough.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of us was shit.
Yeah.
To what they're doing now. And you can usually kind of see where it's going and what they're at. And so that's kind of my method.
Yeah.
I found a lot of good podcasts that way.
Cool.
So, you know.
Nice.
All right. So for our listeners,
your
podcast again?
My podcast is called An Elegant Weapon.
And your website?
It's www.anelegantweapon.ca because the CA is for Canada. We're out of Toronto. Well, I'm out of Toronto.
It won't cost you anything extra to get to that website.
Yeah. Star Wars, comics, and cannabis.
Nice.
And that's how it rolls. So, you know, it's me and... I'm co-curator of a network called the Points of Interest Podcast Network.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
Me and a buddy out of Denver, El Jaquez, Josh Hawks, we put this together. So, of course, if you have a network, I'm on like four other shows too.
Right.
And Elegant Weapon's my baby. But so guys from the other, we all cross pod a lot. So a lot of the hosts from the other shows will guest on an episode.
We'll just
talk whatever, you know.
All right.
It's all about just the fun conversation of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm not huge on those shows that there's so many shows nowadays that are trying to be so produced and polished.
Yeah. Oh, we are not polished.
No,
Here's your Thursday review of whatever.
Yeah.
And, it's like, come on.
My thing is, if you want to have segments and follow segments every week, go do a radio show.
There you go.
That's what radio is for.
Absolutely. Right.
Podcasting is for having a conversation.
Absolutely. I agree entirely.
Absolutely, yes.
Fantastic. I just said where I'm at. Where are you guys at again? Is there a www?
Yes. Superheroespeak.com.
Beauty.
And we're also on Facebook and Twitter.
And I'm sure you're on the iTunes.
Yes. You have to be on iTunes, right?
If you're not on the iTunes,
then you're not anywhere.
You're kind of just talking to yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, if that's your thing. If you just like to record yourself talking to yourself, fantastic.
Yes.
Awesome to meet you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good
to meet you too.
And I'm sure we'll chat sometime in the future.
So, we're back. Speaking of being hijacked,
to be hijacked again.
I have a story for everyone here. Not too long ago, not as long ago as John being in the 60s, but a few years ago, I was a volunteer at the Big Apple Comic Book Convention, and I believe it was actually. No, it was the year before I met Stan Lee. And all of a sudden, this big guy with a purple boa around his neck and these giant sunglasses on his head walks up to me and has a friend with him with a video camera.
Oh, Takai was there too.
And he puts his arm around me and he starts asking me questions about being a volunteer. And it was an interesting and scary situation all at the same time.
Depends on where he was leading you.
Yes. And for those who don't know who I'm talking about Luscious, who...
Is it
That's the name he goes by.
Yeah, that's the name he goes by. Nice he started out... He started out as, like, Brimstone's sidekick, in a way.
And he's become a character in the comics as well.
Right.
But as a result.
Yeah. So I've gotten to know him over the years, and he's a really fun guy, really great personality, bigger than life kind of guy, you know. And he is actually now striking out on his own with his Luscious comic book, and he'll be publishing under Coat of Arms very soon, and he can tell you more about it right in this clip. So, here we go.
Hey, everyone. We are now here with Luscious, the guy who likes to grab volunteers and scare them with interviews. So, how you doing, sir?
You don't have to be a volunteer. I'll grab. There's a guy. Look, this random guy right here. State your name.
Tyler Hastings.
Some random dude at the thing. He just got pulled into this interview. Now you're back to go read. He wasn't volunteering.
So, what do you think of the Great Philadelphia, Great Philadelphia Comic-Con?
I think it's actually doing pretty good. A lot of people are liking the event because I know it's this is like an offshoot off the, Allentown?
Yes.
And a lot of people are really enjoying this. A lot of people that were going to Allentown are here, and they're telling me how, yo, this is so much closer to my house. I like this. It's so much bigger, more room, way more artists and people.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, and there's a lot of people here I know as far as artists and fans, so it's really cool.
Cool, yeah. I mean, it's. I was a little worried because it's, whenever they say Philadelphia and then it's remote from Philadelphia, it's like, people are like, wait, what's really going on? But no, they do have a decent crowd here.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
I mean, the same thing happens like with New York because there's, well, there's the New York Hot Sauce Expo. But it technically is not taking place in New York. It's taking place in Brooklyn. Yeah, to some people, they're like, that's not New York City. To other people, that is New York City.
Yeah, right.
Depends who you talk to. Yeah.
Actually, all my friends from New York usually say people who are really from New York do not live in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually not. Most Manhattan people are people that move there from somewhere else.
Right, yes.
They're like, I'm from Biloxi, Mississippi, and I moved to New York, and I'm living in the city. Everyone else is like... You're paying like four times the amount you would for no reason.
Yeah. So one of the questions we've been asking everybody is, who is somebody that has inspired you in your career?
I have weird inspiration because as a person and as a character, I'm like all over the place. One person, and it's funny as hell because I don't know how many people would know who it is. You guys know who John Waters is?
Yeah.
And Divine?
Yeah.
Two people who definitely did things their own way.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I knew who they were growing up, and it wasn't until a friend of mine introduced me to them, like, in like my early 20s, a friend introduced me who they were, and I saw a lot of what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Another person that's really been inspirational has been Kevin Smith.
Oh yeah.
Not just the writing and the directing, but even just the podcasting, mm-hmm. just being a general. More real kind of celebrity type of person.
Right.
Who
yeah.
he tries to be very transparent about everything he's doing.
Yeah.
Which I do the same. I mean, you know, if I am Luscious and I'm a real person in real life.
Yes.
But I'm still going to talk to people. You know, I'm not going to be like, listen, I'm Luscious. Get away from me. I'm famous. I don't know who you is, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. And yeah, Kevin Smith's a big influence on us because...
I did a podcast too.
Figured if he can do a podcast, anyone can.
He's such a... what's the word? He's like really, really pushes for it because he's like, you don't have to go to do it. You can do whatever you want.
Yes.
You can do it for fun. If someone listens, they listen. If they don't, you're not losing anything if they don't listen. He's like, well, you can gain tons if people listen.
Right.
Yeah. He's a great advocate.
So
that's the word, advocate.
Do you have any projects that you're currently promoting?
Comic book, relaunching the whole Luscious comic book line.
All right.
Which the one we had in the past was I had someone else written. This time it's all me writing it. Wrote it. I already got the first one's already being penciled. I'm in the middle of writing the second one, and I'll be honest, I've lived as a character, but I most of the writing I've done before has been in like prose novel form. It is so different writing in comic book script form.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then I wrote it and I handed it in, and the guy's editing it. He goes, you know, you wrote this wrong. I'm like, you know, it's my first time, right? I'm like, please be gentle.
Right.
Yeah.
Or be harsh. That's what I learned. I'm like, I'll leave that in your hands. Just don't hurt me.
And where can people find the book?
Right now, it's still being done. So, I mean, the best way to find it, just find me at therealluscious.com.
All right, cool.
Nice.
Cool. And all right, you have any parting words for the people before we sign off here?
If you're going to cosplay, go ahead and cosplay. Don't worry about how your costume looks. Don't worry about your size. It's just about empowering yourself and you being that character for the day.
Right.
You know, don't let anyone else say what they are. If anything, they're just jealous they didn't have the balls to do it themselves.
Cool. Thank you. And I do appreciate that. As somebody who wants to cosplay but is always afraid to.
Come on! Are you here tomorrow?
No, we're just here today.
Then tomorrow you got to... take photos of yourself in a costume, and you got to post those suckers up.
Yeah.
All right. I'll do
I'll
that.
I'll hold you to that, Dave.
Yeah, you better hold to it.
Wow. That was just amazing. So is the false excitement not too much? I mean, so don't forget to check him out at coatofarmscomics.com. Oh, and we and therealluscious.com. Again, both of them are in the description, so you know, it's fine. We've got your back.
But we did also talk to some artists who work on things you'd recognize.
You mean people actually work for Marvel and DC? No, yeah. We didn't do that, did we?
I think we did a couple.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
Just a few.
Yeah, so for those who know the name, we talked to Scott Hanna, who, you know, he's worked on Chronicles of Batman. He was the inker on Spider-Man for a huge run. I think like probably 2 years he was the inker on that. And so yeah, we caught up with him, and
he was a really nice
guy.
Yeah,
and the thing that struck me, I think, the most about him was that he was one of those other guys that when we started about talking about comics and people's love of comics, he lit up. And so you know what? Just listen to this clip, because I think you can hear it. I think it comes through. I think you can hear it.
And this is Ben. We're here with Scott Hanna, artist, and just wanted to welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So what do you think of the inaugural Great Philadelphia Comic Con so far?
I'm actually really excited, because I've actually, both yesterday and today, a lot of people were saying this is actually their first ever convention.
Wow.
And to me, this is actually like the perfect intro side. It's not too small.
Right,
it's not too big. Like, I get to talk to the fans as opposed to just like signing autographs endlessly and never seeing anybody.
Yeah, it's such a good layout.
So they got great space. They still have room for growth, but I think this is a really great intro show. It's a good size. I've been pretty busy, you know, consistently and stuff. So I'm really excited about it. I'm really glad for it.
Excellent. So, and we're asking this to a lot of people, what inspired you, or any particular people that inspired you to get into the line of work that you're in?
That's a tough question to answer. I grew up loving art and loving comic books. Actually, when I was 10, I decided I wanted to be an artist for the rest of my life. And coincidentally, when I was 10 is when I started reading superhero comic books.
Yeah.
So that they kind of like coincided.
Yeah, yeah,
but at the same time, when I got older, like when I was leaving high school, I started avoiding comics as a career. I thought it's like, okay, it's a great hobby. I didn't think of it as a job.
Right.
And,
right.
And so I went to college thinking it's like, oh, I'm going to do book covers I did some book covers. I did some album covers. I did some advertising, but it wasn't fun. It was like, it was work. And fortunately, when I was in college, all my friends were into comics too.
Oh yeah.
And so after I'd been struggling as an illustrator, they said, Scott, you know, try getting back into comics. I tried it. It was like, wow, this is fun, and they pay me for it. So I never stopped reading comics or anything. I was always a fan, but I never thought of it as a real job until kind of late in life.
Yeah.
But it all worked out, and when I finally found it was like, this is where you're meant to be. And I even made a promise to myself that when it stops being fun, I'll do some other kind of art.
Right.
Almost 30 years later, I'm still doing it because literally I get to draw superheroes for a living. I mean, how bad is that? You know?
Yeah, well, thank goodness you're still having fun, because I think a lot of people enjoy your art.
That's another really fun thing about my job, is I get to do something I love to do, but I'm also bringing enjoyment to a lot of other people. And to be able to make other people happy with what you do is a blessing. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. You know?
You may have just answered our next question.
Yeah.
Just how do you measure success?
Right.
That actually is a good way of you know, the fact that I actually have people coming up to me saying, you know, I've been reading your stuff for 20 years or whatever, and to me, the fact that I'm actually even still working in the industry, it's a very competitive industry. Yeah. I've known some really super talented people that only lasted like 5 years maybe lasted 10 years or whatever. And I know some very talented people who are currently out of work, at least as far as the major publishing. And so it's you can't really even measure success in are you being published now or are you not. It's more about, you know, do you still enjoy what you do? Are you still growing as an artist? Luckily, I am still being published, but another, like right now I'm actually teaching as well as doing my normal work. And I love the fact I consider myself a successful teacher because two of my recent students are now getting published in the comics industry doing comics work. And like, okay, that means I'm a success as a teacher because I impacted somebody else.
Right.
And the same thing, like with the way I can please fans, that means I'm doing my job right if I'm making you guys happy. You know, because you got to make yourself happy, but what I consider a true success is making other people happy with what I do. I really am doing it for you guys. You know? So, all right.
Now I'm going to ask you this question, but I think the answer is no. But is there a character you haven't worked on yet that you'd like
to? I don't think, actually. I've worked on almost every character I've ever. There is one exception. I love Mike Mignola's Hellboy. I have not worked on Hellboy yet, so that may happen at some point. But pretty much everybody, at least for Marvel and DC, all the characters I grew up with as a kid, I've literally drawn everybody. I mean, until last year, one of the few characters I hadn't drawn was Aquaman, but now I've drawn Aquaman because I did him in Justice League recently.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's almost nobody I haven't done that I want to.
So do you have any upcoming projects or things you'd like people to let people know about?
Okay, let's see. I just wrapped up Future's End, but I'm working on a Batman Eternal project, which is really cool. That'll be out in a couple months. I'm working on Fantastic Four, Armor Wars, and Ultimate End at Marvel are upcoming. Ultimate End is the biggie. And I'm getting to work with Mark Bagley on that again, who's a good buddy of mine. So we actually first worked together on Spider-Man, Batman, and now we're working together again. I'm always doing a whole bunch of different things.
Great, great.
Cool. So, where can people find you online if they want to look you up?
Actually, you can find me at theartistchoice.com is where my artwork is sold.
Okay.
You can also, if you're interested in my school, my teaching, that's artsandfashioninstitute.com.
Where is that located?
I'm located in the very northern tip of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, right below the Lehigh Valley. So a lot of our students come from the whole region. I've had people come all the way from Philly to my classes.
Nice.
A lot of people from the Lehigh Valley, a lot of people from Doylestown area. So I actually teach out of my home studios right now, but it's a great environment. And I love the kind of small classes where I really get to focus on the students and stuff. That's it.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Hey.
You know what, Dave? This convention was so much fun. Who is responsible for all this fun that we had this weekend?
For those who don't know, the Great Philadelphia Comic Con was the same people who put on Allentown Comic Con were behind this. And one of the guys that's involved with that actually is also working with Coat of Arms. Isn't that... it's a small world.
That's an interesting coinkydink.
It's an interesting coinkydink, as you would say. So for those who are familiar with Craig Blake, he's done a lot of conventions in the Philly and New York area. He's better known as the Art of Old School. So we caught up with him. He was one of the guys who helped put this convention together, and we talked to him for a little bit. And let's hear what he had to say.
All right, we're here with Craig Blake.
Old school.
Yes. King of the collage.
Damn straight.
So, how are you enjoying the inaugural Great Philadelphia Comic Con?
It's good. It's tiring, but it's good.
Yeah, doing good at the show?
Yeah. yesterday was a good day. Today's a good day. You know, we're getting people in here filtering through.
Yeah.
Good crowd coming out.
Cool, nice. Cool.
So one of the things that we've been asking everyone is, who's the biggest influences in your career?
H.R. Giger, first and foremost. Not really comic art too much. I was always inspired more by fantasy art, like Heavy Metal Magazine, Mobius, Boris Vallejo. In the comic world, geez, I really like what McFarlane and some of those 90s guys did.
Right.
Pretty much, you know, a lot of guys were heavy in inks. Black and white's always been a great inspiration to me.
All right, cool.
And obviously, you've got a successful run of things, but how do you measure success?
Monetarily, straight up. No kidding. It's all about the dollar. No, I mean, there's a camaraderie in the Comic-Con community where, you know, it's a good mesh of your reputation and if you have the chops to stay in it, keep making a living doing it.
Certainly.
So, I mean, like, it's a matter of, you know, the bottom line of the dollar, you know, surviving and living as an artist with no other job. But it is also how you are, you know, looked upon and revered in the industry itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. All right.
So... And you've obviously drawn a lot of different characters, but if you could actually, like, is there a particular character or book that you would love to draw for?
Ninja Turtles all day long.
Yeah.
I almost did twice already. And some of the structures, I never really agree with it too much. I've always been kind of a do-it-myself type guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe someday. Someday soon, maybe.
All right, cool. And you have any upcoming projects you want people to look out for?
Fierce Force 5. Right behind me is these guys, Coat of Arms Comics.
Yes.
And we're going to be launching about 15 titles at the end of the year under an umbrella company, Evolution Media, Coat of Arms, their comic division.
Yep.
Fierce Force 5. You know, it's going to be a great book. I don't want to give out too many details, but I'll have a few comic books dropping this year.
All right,
nice.
Cool.
Great.
And where can people find you online?
You can find me pretty much if you type in the words art of old school into anything, you will find me immediately, whether it's Amazon.com, Facebook, Redbubble, YouTube, art of old school.
All right.
Great.
Cool.
Hey,
right. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey.
Yeah. So there we go. Again, you can.
He's a very animated guy.
Yes. Yeah.
And really great art.
Yes. I think he had just woken up from a nap before we talked to him. But we'll let this slide because, you know, he is a decent artist.
His energy level came up really fast. So,
yes, and at least he was honest when we asked him what motivates him or how he measures success. You really can't blame him for that. So, of course, on the guest list was another one of our former guests that we had a lot of fun talking with the first time he was on the show. So, of course, we had to talk to him, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. And I am, of course, talking about the one and only Brimstone, wrestler turned CEO of Howland Comics. And he couldn't recognize us right at first. But once we said who we were, he's like, oh, yeah, that's it.
And I gave him a winner of a marketing idea while we were there. We'll see if he institutes
it. Yes. So let's listen in to that wonderful idea that Ben gave him.
I'll talk about it.
Hey, everyone. We're here with Brimstone, former guest of the show, owner and CEO of Hound Comics. And how you doing, sir?
You forgot. And one hell of a nice guy.
And one, exactly. Well, that is true. I will always say that about you.
One hell of a nice guy. Listen, I am so happy to be here. The inaugural event, the great Philadelphia Comic-Con. Chris Wirtz, the promoter, absolutely fantastic. As usual, coming through an amazing event. I'm so happy to be here.
Okay, so the show's been treating you well?
Always, man. Always. Any show of Chris is a show for me.
Cool. So, One of the things we want to ask people to talk to you today, you're a wrestler, comic book guy now, food entrepreneur. Who is somebody that's inspired you in your life?
My mom. No, I was inspired, going back old school by guys like Captain Lou Albano, you know, rest in peace, and you know, Hulk Hogan, and people like that who jumped out of the wrestling industry and did, you know, pretty much everything else that they possibly could, continue to rebrand their name outside of the business. So, you know, for me, they were, you know, kind of like the people I wanted to model my careers after. In that sense, you know, crazy enough, people like Madonna, Prince, consistently rebranding themselves, remarketing themselves. That's how you need to you know, do things in the world of entertainment and the world in general. I mean, you need to consistently be reinventing yourself and putting yourself out there for the fans.
Cool. Great answer.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. Did I try?
And how do you measure success?
You know what? Success comes in many ways, many shapes, many forms. For me personally, you know, success is, I guess, held by the company that you keep. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You're around good people, and you build with good people, then you're successful. You have a happy home, your home life is in order, you're successful. Success isn't necessarily meant in dollars and cents. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, you know, hopefully I'll put out, you know, a legacy, you know, that people remember me and say, you know, I'm respected in, that's success for me.
All right, cool. And do you have anything in particular that you're promoting right now?
I'm promoting everything. you know, look, Hound Comics Inc., Hound Entertainment Group, you know, trying to grow in leaps and bounds. We have over 40 different comics and kids books and web comics and novels, you name it, including the flagship brand, Brimstone and the Borderhounds. You know, we have to shamelessly plug that away. We also have, you know, over 16 different sauces and seasonings and salsas, all award-winning, from my stuff to the Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses stuff. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, I've got my colognes with Demeter fragrances, my backpacks with eSport and Walmart's and Walmart.com. You know, just everything, man. You know, we just work so hard. Oh, one thing that if anybody is a collector out there for toys and so forth, if you like the Funko type things,
right?
Well,
yeah.
Three Coconut Monkey is actually doing the Brimstone collectible vinyl, which is going to be launching within the next couple of months.
Nice.
They do the Stan Lee figure, and they're doing the Brimstone figure next, and I'm very, very excited about that.
And you guys just opened your first store, right?
Yes, we did. We actually opened up the new corporate office and then the retail showroom in Bethpage, New York, on Hempstead Turnpike, which is a major road. So we figured, well, since we're doing the corporate office and we have a storefront area, might as well put all of our stuff there. With over 170 different products, you know, to offer, you know, we figured, hey, it makes sense to kind of open up a store too.
Have you considered blending these and making a scratch and sniff issue of any of your comics with your spices?
That would be an awesome idea, and I actually thought about that, but it would be such a tremendous cost.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be able to do it. However, the sauce and seasonings are branded inside the comics. Everything is full circle. So
right. Cool. So you have anything else you want to add before we sign off here?
Well, if you were posting this today, I'd say come and see me, but since you're not, probably.
No, this will be probably posted Wednesday.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Wednesday. Listen, check me out online, my official website, www.entrancetohell.com. If you have kids, you want to go to www.brimstone.me. That's, you know,
friendlier
name, but, you know, it's the same website.
Yeah.
Houndkids.com. If you do have the kids, you want to play with, you know, some of the kids' stuff we have. And then houndcomics.com. You know, check us out.
All right, cool. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
So, you think he'll institute that idea, Ben?
I think he should. I think it's a no-brainer.
All right. Well, we'll see. Though, I mean, again, we don't need money for it, just as long as we get credit. You know, that's all that matters. And, of course, you can find him at houndcomics.com and entrancetohell.com and all that fun stuff. So. And finally, I actually became friends with this person on Facebook a while ago, and I've talked to him a couple times about coming on and doing the show, and it just never worked out. So, obviously, while we were there, it was the last person that we talked to, but I had to take, you know, 5 minutes of his time to talk. And, of course, I'm speaking of Mark McKenna, who, again, he's an inker. Penciler and inker. He's worked on a lot of stuff for Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in the business for 30 years, so He's been around.
He does great work.
Yeah, you'll see you've seen his name on quite a few things. But right now he's pushing his creator-owned book, Combat Jacks. So definitely check out Combat Jacks at markmckennaart.com. But before you do that, listen to our little conversation we had with him.
Your names, by the way?
Ben Fiore.
Ben?
Yep. And Dave.
Ben and Dave. Okay, man.
So we're here with Mark McKenna, artist extraordinaire. So this is the first great Philadelphia Comic Con. What do you think of the event so far?
So far, so good. Don't know what to expect for first-time shows ever.
Yeah.
But I've done Chris's show in Allentown, and he always has a nice cast of characters there, and he's building the show nicely. My big concern with doing first-time shows if they're really big is they don't build them, they just make them big, and you're not sure if they're going to work. Where he took a shot at this, and I think it's been pretty successful so far.
Yeah, it's a good location. Nice, the venue is
very good,
so getting a good crowd. So who inspired or what inspired you to get into this line of work, and who were your influences?
I was a comic collector as a kid, I mean, right up till my early teens, and when push come to shove, as a high school senior, my guidance counselor said to me, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And I said, can I do 13th and 14th grade? And they said, no.
Yeah.
You got to think about what you want to do. And the only things I really had affinity towards was comic books and movies.
Yep.
So I actually went to the School of Visual Arts to become an animator
for
2 years. But I found at the time everything was hand-drawn animation.
Yeah.
And it was 770 drawings for 1 minute animation. I lost my mind after 200 drawings.
Oh, I can imagine.
So I went into comic books at that point.
So if you could draw for any book, what would be your dream book to draw for?
I'm a cosmic superhero guy, so I'm a big fan of the Silver Surfer.
Nice.
I like doing the space scenes more than doing the Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
But I like the I like Black Bolt and the Inhumans. I like Adam Warlock, stuff like that.
All right. Cool. Have you ever worked on Guardians?
I did some work on. I did some work on the Guardians Annual.
I thought that's so, yeah.
Back in 92 or 93.
Yeah, that's when I was heaviest collecting, so yeah.
I did very little work on it, though.
Okay, all right. And do you have any upcoming projects that you want to promote?
Yeah, my Combat Jacks is my own book I do. It's Space Marines versus Monster Jack-O-Lanterns. I did issue one in 2012, and IDW told me if I had to continue as a four-issue miniseries, they would collect it.
Okay.
So issue two just came out last week, but I haven't had it in Diamond yet. Diamond will solicit it, but I needed enough to cover my Kickstarter rewards.
Right.
So I did 250 to cover my 160 Kickstarter rewards, and I'll go back to print.
Okay.
And then I got number three is going to be a Headless Horseman cover.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I'm bringing that concept where our pumpkins are not really our pumpkins; they're indigenous aliens from another planet that have seeded here years and years ago.
Interesting.
Maybe even from prehistoric times.
Nice.
Wow.
So I'm working
that's
on
different.
That.
Yeah.
Cool. And where can people find you online?
MarkMckennaArt.com, CombatJacks.com, or my children's book website, Bananatail.com, which I'm working on my third storybook for Bananatail called Bananatail in the Checkerboard Jungle, which features Bananatail and his first meeting with Tic Tac, who's a play of zebra.
Cool.
And is there anything else that you want to tell the listeners?
Very busy with the con season this year. I have 21 appearances.
Oh, wow.
Nine of them in libraries in New York, because superheroes are the theme of the New York library system this year. So I have nine libraries, and seven of them in July. I think that's a big reading time of year for the program, the library programs in schools. Two weeks I'll be in Super Mega Fest up in Boston. I'm going to be in Denver this year. I'm going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Charlotte, Heroes Con.
Okay.
I'm taking a break from going to Costa Rica and Calgary.
So Wizard World Philly?
No Wizard shows for me in the last couple of years.
Oh, okay.
Just I haven't had the contact with those guys, so I haven't followed up.
All right, New York Comic Con.
As a sidebar.
Okay.
They want a lot of money for a table, $500 for a table. So if they don't treat me better than that, I don't need to go to that, you know?
Understood.
All right.
Understood.
All right,
great,
cool.
Great
Thank
talking
you.
To you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, so there you go, guys. There is everyone that we talked to over there. Again, it was for a Saturday. It was a good crowd. For a first convention, it was a really good crowd. I definitely hope they keep going. seems like they will. I don't see why they wouldn't. Yeah, it was a good convention. It was a little small, you know, but again, first one. Hopefully they'll grow and we'll get a bigger one next year. And maybe, just maybe, they can move it a little closer to the city for us.
Maybe. It won't keep me change my mind about going.
Well, of course, it's closer to your house.
I don't know why you're complaining. If that far out from Philly, you can easily get transportation with the Amish.
Oh,
that's true.
I didn't think of that.
Where the trains stop, the horse and buggy start.
You know, that's actually talked about the Amish after the convention.
Yes, we did.
We talked about your wedding.
That's true.
My wedding? No,
mine was catered by Mennonites.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, which Ben compared to the Amish. You know,
they are.
So all the Amish people listening to this podcast right now are offended.
All of zero of them, because this goes against their religions to listen to podcasts.
If you're a former, my mind just went blank. Oh my god.
A former Amish, yes, who is offended by being compared to Mennonites. We want to hear.
Yes, we want to hear from you. Hashtag Ben is wrong. at Superhero Speak, if you feel that, you know, Ben offended us, there you go.
Well, that hashtag's going to get used for so many.
Well, that things. Is true. So.
Were we not supposed to use it? I've already posted twice. Sorry.
So there you go, boys and girls. That is our coverage of the Great Philadelphia Comic Con. We had a lot of fun. We hope to do it again next year. And yeah, you have any closing thoughts, Ben, or closing questions, John?
No, but I'm going to be at the next one, hopefully.
You better. You can jump on one of your horses and go there. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, along with the Mennonites.
I would love to see you pull up in a horse.
I'll do it.
You can work it into cosplay somehow.
You know what the horse would be colored like, Ben? I'm sure.
A horse of a different color, is that?
I'm actually picturing John in She-Ra cosplay.
What? No. Jeez.
Oh, guys. All righty. So, well, then on that note, boys and girls, as you picture John dressed as She-Ra, hey, if you think that John should cosplay as She-Ra at the next convention he goes to, hashtag John She-Ra yes. It's a superhero to me. And we will make it happen.
And if you don't, hashtag mind soap.
Yes. If you don't want to, hashtag mind soap. And we will tally the votes for next week, and we will make him do it if we have to. So there you go.
Thanks.
So until next week, boys and girls, don't let your cape caught in the door. Have a good week.
Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, what are you doing? Taking over Dad's mic so I can be part of Superhero Speak. Duh.
Well, there are better ways to join the conversation.
Really? Like what?
Well, you can interact with them on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and even Pinterest.
Wait, people use Pinterest? And what's Google+?
I don't know, something to do with circles. Anyway, you can also see all their posts, including comic book videos, on their website, where you can also sign up for their mailing list.
Cool!
Yep, are you still going to try to hijack Dad's mic?
Nope, I'm going to try to answer the Stump the Geek question.
Nice. So who do you think would win in a fight between Rainbow Dash and Squirrel Girl?
Oh, that's a hard one. Oh no, Dad's waking up. Run for your lives!
Oh, what are you guys doing? That cape's going to get caught in the door.